This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Let's Rhyme with Time. And the author is Carmine Dappas. And Carmine joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbo Press. Hello, Carmine.
How you doing? How are you? My wife asked our granddaughter, who was 10 years old at the time, for the time. She was doing homework. She had to walk into, there was a clock on the wall. She had to walk into the next room to look at a digital time. So my wife just made me aware of that facet, that part of all this, that kids are so much into digitalizing things that the old-fashioned clocks, and they're still around, you know, up on walls and such, and wristwatches. It's very possible that many of them can't tell time that way. So the motivation at that point then became to substitute numbers, or at least clocks that have regular numbers on it, for digital clocks, so that they'd be able to tell times in both phases. So, but when I wrote the poem, it was an inspiration to use these animations, these lively animations of numbers, so that it would catch the attention of fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh, I take that back, even earlier than that, early years. And I just like to give you an example, you know, to make it fun to work with numbers and stuff, and then at the very end, the last portion of it deals with telling times. There's a couple of worksheets that they can use on their own. Can I just do a small portion of it for you?
Please, very much.
And it's written poetically, because I guess that would catch their attention, too. The story begins with number one, and all it wants to do is to have some fun. And not with just anyone. It just didn't know what to do. Do you? Shall we tell it to look for number two? I don't know what to do. Do you? Number two did come to play. Turned out to be a beautiful day. What else can we say? It was a beautiful day anyway. And then there are illustrations of one and two that are animated. Then maybe we could play with one, two, and three. Or will it be more fun just playing with you and me? And then there are illustrations of one, two, and three with the sun in the background. More fun to run. You might want to do more. Well, then let's ask number four. Here it is. Let it in. Open the door. Now, is that all there are that must arrive? No, no. There's also number five. And there is a picture of number four entering the doorway. And then number five alongside of it, sort of welcoming number four. And the following page, we now have one, two, three, four, five, quite a mix. But why don't we also ask number six? And then all those numbers that were mentioned are shown on that page. Six could ask number seven and 11 to come at the very same time, especially since they both rhyme. Then we have illustrations of animated six, seven, and 11. Wait. What about number eight? I hope it's not too late. It would be great if we all could play with one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and eight. Then you have all those numbers, and there's number eight scurrying along, trying to make it not to be late.
Right.
Then I think it will also be fine if we could ask number nine, except that we are missing number nine. Let's call nine on the telephone line. There's a picture of nine making a telephone call. Well, that's just a very short portion of it, so.
Well, that's just wonderful, and you know the kids just love rhyme, and they just like great illustrations, especially when you make them look real. Obviously, these numbers come to life, and that's the
right.
That's the real
exactly.
Magic of it, right? That's the magic right. Of it.
Now, this book is on the shelf of our local public library, and my granddaughter handed it to a teacher, and they did a lesson on it in the classroom. It's in a few of the school districts, and I don't know how many, maybe one other or two other public libraries. It's also on computer with Barnes and Nobles and see if my wife is sitting there. Amazon also.
Right. You got some plans to have some more fun with numbers. Tell us about those.
Well, the sequels basically, and not only numbers, but letters. I'd like to do the same thing, animate the letters. And for instance, in this case, you can use these numbers that have come alive through their animation with addition, subtraction, division, whatever, whatever the age level happens to be. And then with letters, too, let the letters come alive in the same manner, like showing, for instance, that A in itself is not only a letter but also a word, then B, saying so right down the line, with the poetic style added to it. I'm still in the process of doing that, so I can't really say any more.
Sure. Sure. Well, it's a great idea, and it has a lot of positive impact, and it's a learning tool. Obviously, your poems have that just that right rhyming and the right, I don't know what it's called in poetry. It's that almost like a beat, isn't it? It's really
right.
The rhythm of it. It's the rhythm of it that gets everybody's attention.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to get that answer. The rhyme in poetry, what do we call it?
I think it's called meter, isn't it? Meter?
Meter, probably, right. Yeah. Meter.
Yeah.
There's
meter.
Another word to, right, okay. The other thing, of course, that I think in terms of Sesame Street, and I think of Disney World, a friend of mine has a niece that works at Sesame Street. She has the book and showed it to the parties out of concern, but I don't know, I haven't heard anything yet on that. And then, of course, there's his nephew, who is actually an animator himself in California, and he was involved in two big productions that were successful. Do you know the names of those movies? Bees was one of them, and Pandas, right? One doing with Panda, but he's no longer with that company.
Right.
Had two failures, but now he's affiliated with Disney World, with a subsidiary. Naturally, hopefully, who wouldn't want, that to be?
Of course,
with those big organizations. So,
well, it's called, everyone, the title, "Let's Rhyme with Time," and the author is Carmen DePeace. And Carmen, besides Wespo Press, tell us again where we can get it.
You know what? Can I have my wife tell you that? She's my secretary and all this. The same way that kids today are beginning to lose sight of telling time by a wall clock, I am actually a computer illiterate. I'm just the opposite of anything digitalized and that sort of thing. So I'd like
no problem.
Can you ask her that question?
Certainly.
Is that okay?
That would be great.
As far as I know, those are the only two places. They can go online to Amazon or online to Barnes & Noble and order it, or they could go into the stores and order it, and it'll come into the store and be picked up.
Right, right. Well, very good,
and then
very
Wespo,
good.
Wespo Press, of course. They
of
have,
course.
You can order it through them.
Well, thank you so much, Carmine, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
You're quite welcome.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Wespo Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear the latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4 or 3 Central on toginet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune in to TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Whoa Man, Spiritually, Mentally, and Emotionally Renewing Woman's Awareness and Recognition of Her Divine Prestige. And the author is Ira Ashleen Kinthia. And Ira joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Wespo Press. Hello, Ira.
Hello. How are you, Steve?
Well, great to have you with us, and thank you for being so direct and at the same time respectful, but pointing out some things that all men and all women need to hear. As you put it, life is about being and not doing. Let's face it, women can't be expected to do one more thing in their already demanding, overflowing life. You're basically saying woman. Well, in your book, Whoa Man awakens women in the value of their very being with unconditional love and acceptance. And of course, to do, I guess, is not in the equation, and yet man expects woman to do. And that's going to be the discussion of your book. And we appreciate you being with us. Thank you, Ira.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Well, first of all, before we get into talking about different aspects of your book, tell us about your background and why you wrote it.
Well, I have a 30-year Army career. I kind of went that direction because I had not such a rosy little childhood, which kind of, for most women, if you don't have such a rosy childhood, you kind of do these kind of things. You do in the military, you do police, you do firefighters, you do that environment that, for some reason, you despise, yet you go right to. We kind of run to it. And I talk about that in my book later on as to kind of why we do that, because it's full of structure and purpose. I think that our structure and our purpose has been so masculine that we lose ourselves as the women that we were created, that nurturing emotional trademark of what a great woman is, and we lose that, and we become disoriented, and we almost despise that which we are. And it's so important to have the power of the masculine and the feminine in each being. I mean, we're mostly feminine, but we do have masculine qualities. Men are mostly masculine, they do have feminine qualities, and it's very, very important that these two come together, kind of like two colors. Let's just use red and blue, the masculine and the feminine. And they come together and they make this beautiful purple, this royal color that we associate with royalty, that we associate with the divine, that we associate with heaven's grace. And this is what needs to come together. And I write the book because I studied theology. And in our worlds, the cultures are so deep set in religious beliefs, and these practice laws that the cultures have, they guide and they determine the treatments of the citizens associated with those religious beliefs and practices. And yet, like in the U.S. recently, I mean, it's not even recent, it's been throughout the years, citizens create amendments to those laws to permit them to do whatever they want to do, whatever they wish to have in their life, even though it's against the religious guides that they first were created upon, that they first recognized, that they state that is what guides them, they change them. And then based on this, women have been treated like second-class citizens or less. They've been beaten, they've been raped, they've been maimed at the whim of their fathers and males in their lives. And they're treated as nothing more than sexual entities to be degraded at the expense of their very being. They're dismissed as viable, valuable, and worthy citizens in their communities. And what's even worse today is that women throughout history have complied with this deplorable mindset against them. And a prime example, have you seen the latest Calvin Klein or B&G? Yeah, it's awful. It's it's a rape. It's a rape ad. And it, that ad is supposed to sell clothes? Right. What does raping a woman have to do with selling clothes? And why would we look at something like that? And the woman, she degrades herself. She dismisses her very being by even complying with that commercial, by even being in it. I'm sorry, it's disrespectful, it's undignified. And we comply because we say, oh, I want the money, I want to do, I want to be a part. Life is about doing, it's not about being in who I am. I'm going to give up my integrity, I'm going to give up my honor so that I can be something that someone else wants me to do, somebody else's expectations. And so I was like deplored, I'm sorry. And I went to God's word. And I said, God, what hell brought this to us? And he told me, go to the very beginning, Genesis. Look and see in the garden. The garden, okay, do you consider Satan an angel, Steve?
Well, he's a fallen angel.
Absolutely. He's a fallen angel. And so Eve was deceived. She wasn't even named until after original sin. Woman was deceived by an angel. And to be deceived means that you are tricked by someone with authority. And the only
blamed. She's basically blamed for everything.
Yes. Yes, she's blamed for everything. Because before the eyes were even opened, Adam had to take of that fruit. Her eyes were not open. She still had true love, pure love that God gave her. And she gave of the fruit in pure love. And when the eyes were opened, that's only after Adam took. And then when God asked, hey, what's going on here? Adam, what's going on? He said, the woman you gave me. So now he's made her his possession. She gave of me of the fruit to eat. Now he blamed her. He didn't say, hey, I took of the fruit, Lord, that you told me not to take, and you only told me, by the way. He blamed her. He made her his possession, and he blamed her. And this is these are two of the major challenges, because within all of that, woman feels guilty for the love she gives. So now she tries to do versus just being in her authentic, true, unadulterated femininity. And this is the challenge that we have, and this is why I wrote Woman. Well, man, it's to let women know that the very essence of their feminine power is within their very creation. And it's not to be misinterpreted. It's not to be taken advantage of. It's not to be used at her expense. It's to be complementing that masculine energy and bring together a royal world.
You also focus on Mary, the mother of Jesus. Tell us why.
Mary, she was asked of God to do something that would cause her great pain throughout her entire life because of how the world viewed women. I mean, Mary, look at the New Testament. I mean, you meet her in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, almost every single encounter with Jesus is for women. It's about being a whore. It's about being anything more than that. They forget totally about the woman. And when they do use woman, like in the area in chapter 2, subchapter Mary, Mother of Jesus, when I talk about Mary, I talk about the life that she probably had to leave and lead, based on this fact that she was she had a child of fornication. And you see this in John. And so they're even calling our Blessed Mary, Mother Virgin, a fornicator. And so every woman in the New Testament, and so I use Mary as an example of how to keep your life on track. Remember the conversation that she had with Jesus during the wedding in Cana. He used woman. And ever since childhood, all I've heard was that was a disrespectful nick to Mary by Jesus. And no, it wasn't. He used the word because there's four words in the Aramaic language that Jesus spoke during that time. He used the word, the highest word, gune, G-U-N-E. And it means high mother, queen of all. And so he used the highest respect when he spoke to her, like any woman would expect her child to respond. And he knew the New Testament and the Old Testament and the laws that were given. And one of those laws and the commandments is, thou shalt respect and honor thy mother and thy father. There was no way he was going to do that. He didn't know anything but pure love. And so he would speak with her with pure love. And this relationship is what I talk about, so that women can grasp that this is pure love. This is how you're supposed to be treated. And that Jesus didn't talk to whores. He talked to women that had challenges placed upon them.
Not about, again, as you point out, not about doing, but about being. They're being a woman, and it doesn't matter what they've done.
That's correct. That's correct. It's about being that woman and being respected and recognized as a woman and not something that someone makes you.
So men have struggled. They've struggled with their female counterparts matching them in talents and skills. Even though we're all different, it's men and women. Men struggle, especially in the business world.
Yes, because they forget how it's... The business world is so masculine. It's about purpose. It's about pointedness. It's about so many things that are all the masculine qualities. It's about forgetting your emotions. We're emotional beings. We're created that way. That's the nurturing that the world needs. If you look at Mother Nature, Mother Nature nurtures the flowers while they come up from the ground. And she gives it love and water. That's our tears. And the ground is our very being. And we nurture things and we give it growth. And that's not permitted in man's world out there in the corporate world. Suck it up. Move on. You know, how dare you cry? You can't be emotional. And so we forget about doing all of that. We forget about being all of that. And we focus on the doing. Well, now I got to do this, and now I have to do that, and I have to make myself known because I have to become that which I'm not. And it really causes a huge struggle for both man and woman in these areas, in these arenas. And it's only when we learn to recognize woman in all of the aspects, the qualities that make up a woman, and give her that empowering, feminine, idealistic, nurturing, emotional comfort in being a woman. Until the world does that, women are always going to struggle in every area.
You talk about a woman's might, M-I-G-H-T, her might. What is her might?
A woman's might is knowing her vulnerabilities. And let me kind of share that with vulnerabilities are more like heartfelt, unconditional, loving, giving, compassionate, passionate emotions. Those are vulnerabilities. And and it's needed in every area of life. I mean, how do we raise a child? How do we have a child and nurture it and help it to grow and to become all it can be if we don't have these qualities to start off with? And that's our might. those vulnerabilities are what makes us powerful, and to know that those vulnerabilities are needed. I'll take an example, and I'll take it in the man's world. Being in the Army, I had my uniform on, and when I lost my son, I had to stand at attention because he was Navy. And during that 21 gun salute, I wanted to fall to my knees, but I couldn't. I had to stand strong for my son. In the vulnerability of that moment, I stayed strong. That's our power. That's what that means. That's our might. And it comes from God. It doesn't come from man. They tell us to be what we're not. It only comes from the strength of knowing God and staying in His will.
It's about being and not doing. That is the theme of her book. And we've been listening to Ira Ashleen Kinthia and her book, Woman, that's spelled W-O-M-A-N, Spiritually, Mentally, and Emotionally Renewing Woman's Awareness and Recognition of Her Divine Prestige. Ira, tell us how to get your book.
Well, you can go on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. We carry it in ebook, soft cover, and hardcover. Or you can go to my website, www.irakynthia.com. And there is a link to go to the book and purchase the book. I also have an email and a Facebook page.
Well, thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope that you continue to have a spiritually awakened day.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbo Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Chained No More, A Journey of Healing for the Adult Children of Divorce. And the author is Robin Biesman. And Robin joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbo Press. Hello, Robin.
Hi.
Great to have you with us. Very needed book. Probably nothing like it out on the market, would you say?
That's true. That's true. This is unique because of the process of it.
Right. And the process, you know very well. We'll find out why in just a moment. Let me read, Joel, just a general statement about your book, Chained No More. You write, it's a 13-week curriculum that will help participants face their childhood traumas, specifically the divorce of their parents. See the power it has had over their lives, find healing in Jesus, and then be given tools to head toward a brighter and healthier future. Well, that sums it up very well. So let's go through some of the steps. But before that, Robin, tell us about your background and what brought this about.
Well, my background is that I've always been in ministry. I always say that I went to church before I was born. My father's a pastor, and my heart has always been toward ministry. And from the time I was little, standing at the door and saying goodbye to people at the church after each service. And it continued on to do that. As I went forward in my life, I led certain ministries. I came to a place where I was camp mom at Camp Harlow. Camp Harlow is a camp that our church owns, about 3,500 kids a summer. And I became camp mom, and my camp name was Hummer, Mama Hummer. And so from there, I would hold the children, and I would, as they cried about their families, their broken families, and I remember there was a bookmark where there was a middle school boy crying, and the whole front of my left side of my shirt was full of tears, and the Lord kind of told me, you know, there's adults hurting as much as these children. What are we doing? And at that time, we weren't doing too much. We did have Divorce Care, which is a program from North Carolina, but that was about it. The next year, we did a registration form for Camp Harlow, and it said, if you are interested in having a single-parent family ministry, check here, and 450 families, check here. So we knew that there was a great need in our community for single-parent family ministry. So I began that, and that was called Family Connections. I did go on staff at First Baptist Church in Eugene, and I did that for 12 years. Within that was Divorce Care for Kids, which is another program outside out of North Carolina. I did that for 3.5 years, and then my heart began to break for teens. And so I was going to write a curriculum, but somebody told me that you don't need to. There is a curriculum out there, the big D, Divorce Through the Eyes of a Teen. I led that for 3.5 years, saw tremendous healing in the children and also in the teens. Then because we live in a university town, I had college kids asking me, how come you don't have something like that for me? And then there were adults who were saying, I wish there had been something for me if I had just healed back then. So the Lord was leading me on and on and on through this. And I call it juicing me up. He was juicing me up for the next thing. And it was so exciting to see how this all came together. So that's how I came to write Chain No More. Somebody had asked me to write a curriculum for the prison ministries in the United States. I really didn't know a lot about prisons, you know. I don't think I know a lot of convicts. And so I wrote something and wrote Chain No More.
Well, of course, I think we all understand this situation of divorce in our country. It's very high, and with it comes this high level of anger and depression in people. So let's start at the beginning. In fact, session one, the beginning of this journey, beginning the journey. Tell us about how hard is it to begin?
Well, all participants will come in, and they're pretty nervous. Some leaders are kind of nervous because we don't really know the people that come in a lot of times. And so they're kind of nervous of how deep is this going to get and what is this and what's the difference between this and maybe some therapy or whatever. And what are people going to know about me? And so they're all kind of nervous. And so the first chapter is important. The first night class is important because they need to be able to feel comfortable and safe in a place. And so we go through a lot of stuff like that so they understand. What we're trying to do is get them to begin the journey of looking back. So there's a page on there called Links of Issues. And there's issues such as trust, fear, abandonment, betrayal, and on and on and on. And that has a little bit of a few sentences about each one. And if they see that that's an issue that they really struggle with, then they will check that. I will say that they never share these books with anyone. They don't take them home, actually. I have them in the back of my car or whatever leader does, because if we did let them go forward, if we let them have the book, they keep going forward. So they get to write everything out of their hands, come out of their mouth. They're owning it. They're looking at it. It's not a DVD series. It's not a lecture series. This is business between them and the Lord God, and that's the first night to be able to recognize.
And that's what makes this so effective?
Very, very effective, because they're not just sitting there. I don't personally have over 10 people in a class because it's too important. It gets deep. We do have small groups things, but this is really getting down to it. You can say, I mean, like what I hear from participants is now the sermons mean so much more in church because their filter of all this hurt has been lifted. And now they really hear the words of God for them, not just for everybody else around them. So that's another wonderful benefit to this.
Why do we as children take such responsibility, like for our parents who are struggling in their marriage? We seem to just kind of take on all that and then carry it through life. Is that what this is about?
This is where, sorry, this is where I heard a lot of the pain of the children in divorce care for kids. It's to understand, that's a magnificent curriculum to help us understand and have churches understand these kids coming into Sunday schools and youth groups now. But a lot of times the children will take this, will take the pain of their family and their parents on themselves. Maybe they heard mom and dad arguing with one another over them. And so they think it's their fault. Or if they had just not talked back to their mom and dad and made them angry, that their parents would not have been fighting. And they take, and I will tell you, the oldest participant in the Chain No More so far around the country is 87 years old. And for all of her years, she still, at 87, thought that the divorce of her parents was her fault. And what a blessing to watch her be broken from that. That was, it was phenomenal.
Well, session 5 and session 6 deals with anger, and that is a very destructive emotion.
It can be very, it can be very destructive, actually. And we have seen a lot of that. We've had people who have lived in anger so much that they were ones that were abusing people, and to see them healed of that anger was phenomenal. It comes out in all different ways. But it's a cloud, it's a filter. Everything is anger because they haven't dealt with the pain that's hurt inside. That's why chapter 6, under the grip of the chain of anger, that's why that's so important. Because they finally get to what was really under that anger, and they deal with that. And when you deal with the hurt underneath it, that helps so much with the anger. They don't have to have that anger anymore.
That must be quite a
chapter.
Right. That must be quite a process to face what made you so angry.
Yeah, and it is through the questions that they ask. They will sit, many times participants will sit in silence because they had an aha moment, and they drop their pen and they just stare at the ceiling and they start thinking things through. And that's what I love to watch, because I don't say a word. It's letting the Lord reveal things to them that they never knew happened, or that they knew but they didn't see the chains of it. They didn't see how it affected a former relationship or people at work or whatever. And it is aha moments for them.
Why is forgiveness so important?
I think forgiveness, we say that it's not taking them off the hook, it's taking yourself off the hook. God asks us to do that, and it's easy to say that, but very hard to do. What I find in Chain No More is that participants will see, like a father is not born, let's say, just go with a father, because the mother too, but a father, he wasn't born to molest a child. He wasn't born to do that. Something happened to him. An innocent baby doesn't do that. When they begin to see that their parents brought their own stuff into their marriage and moved it forward onto these participants, they come to a place where they can forgive. And of course, you know, it's a long process. And I think a lot of programs stop at forgiveness. Hallelujah, you're free, you've forgiven, it's over. And I just don't believe in that, because I think you have to have tools after that. The next time you see that person, the next time at a family reunion you see that person, or you think of that person, what are you going to do right there? You have put it on the cross. You have released it, and you're not going to take it back. And so that's what we call click points. At that moment, you click that off in the name of God. I will not let the enemy do this to me again. And those are some of the tools near the end.
Along the way, does everyone finally discover, as you say, who God is to you? Do they have to? Is that they really have to discover that?
I think they do, and I questioned why I put it in the order that I did. But when I did classes, I truly understood, because to be able to understand His forgiveness for us as an example, we need to know where we came from with the Lord. I have had people in the Baha'i faith. I have had people in Catholic, Mormon. I have had people in all different religions come into these classes. And to understand who God says He is, and who is He to you? For me, my dad was a pastor. Why did I believe what I believe? Because my dad told me to, or because I truly took it as my own faith? And that's a deep session. It really is, as they start asking the question about God.
The importance of the leaders in these steps. The leader has to be specially trained, or how does that work?
I do have a leader guide. I have hand trained a lot of my leaders. It's a different thing. It's not teaching and lecturing. What we become as we become mentors, walking beside them and helping them see deeper. So, for instance, a Chain No More leader will always have another question ready. It's not so we need to know it. It's what they need to know to get deeper, to find out. They may tag something onto a first marriage, but if they go deeper, they'll find out that that came from when they were a kid. And so our job is to be a cheerleader for them, to praise God, and to pray with them, and to be there for them when they get emotional. We're walking them through, and we're facilitating. We have things that we give presentations during it, but it's nothing like we're telling them how to believe. We want to draw them to Jesus Christ's arms of healing, and that's our job to do that. It's also important things like what you do when somebody's talking to you, if you have your arms closed, if you, you know, crossed, if you, you know, there's so many things to it to help them be free to share and to explore and discover all of these family patterns and how they affected them and all the hurts that they've had. I mean, it's heartbreaking, some of these stories, but I do go home and cry. Sometimes for them, my heart is heavy for them, but I do know where they're headed, and that will keep me going. And all Chain No More leaders will tell you the same thing. It's magnificent.
I'm sure in some, the pain is just so intense. How do you get them to have the courage to go through the pain?
Well, we address a lot of that in the first and the very first night. And we, first class, because they need to know that it'll probably be really, really painful, but you are in a safe place here to share these things. If there's something that I don't know about or it's over my head, I have resources that I can go to. My particular resources are therapists, pastors, psychotherapists, counselors, and I can go to them. And so they get very emotional. And I teach the leaders how to deal with that issue. Sometimes it's a little embarrassing. Maybe somebody gets really, really, you know, upset and stuff. So you just have them leave the room, and you go out in about 3 minutes and just kind of minister to them, pray with them, whatever, and bring them back. You don't want to get embarrassed. Some of them, they've never looked at this. I had an 83-year-old gentleman last time. And he just began to unravel things that he hadn't looked at and he didn't see. And it was fantastic. It was just fantastic to watch what God did.
Where do you go from here?
Well, I'm right in the middle of writing the revision and the revision. I should say the next version, because that's a self-discovery. What you have in front of you is the leader guide and participant guide, and that's the curriculum. My heart was to get people into churches, step into churches, and be able to not isolate so much anymore, and also to continue to grow. So now what has happened, this will go into the prisons, but there will also be a version for people to go to the store and be able to buy them and take them home. In the beginning of that book will be chapters on each subject, on each chapter here, session here, and then they will go directly to the back, to the corresponding chapter, and they will be able to do the workbook there. And then we're walking, well, in Spanish, people have asked for that. So it just continues on, much more than I ever thought.
Well, congratulations, Robin. We've been listening to Robin Beesman. She is the author of her book, Chained No More, this 13-week curriculum to help with such a painful past that a lot of people carry and they need to get rid of it to literally become the success that they need to become in life. A Journey of Healing for the Adult Children of Divorce. Robin, tell us how to get your book.
You can get the books on Amazon, of course, and Barnes & Noble, any of the book websites. Also, on my website, our ministry website, Robin B. Ministries, is www.robinbministries.com/chainsnomore.
Thank you so much, Robin, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.